from Bloomington, Indiana, home of Indiana University.
We have
men's little 500 bike ring. Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, Dan has been back on the bike for a matter of minutes and has already realised that things have changed. The question is, have they changed for the better or for the worse?
We've also got cyclists behaving badly, an initiative from my local law enforcement that allows them to track badly behaved cyclists.
Coincidence that it's come just as you got back on
Complete
your bike.
Coincidence, Si. And a graph from Shimano that tells us a strange amount about the current state of the cycling industry. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that out-of-the-saddle attacks are so last year, aren't they? Now, it's all about seated accelerations.
Yeah. Tadej Pogačar made the rest of the peloton look like juniors.
Cadets,
yeah,
really,
under-11s, yeah, as he rode away from them on the Merdehui on Wednesday and La Redoute last Sunday.
He made it look almost effortless, didn't he, really?
He did.
Congratulations as well to Puk Pietersen and Kim LeCort, both of whom took the biggest wins of their respective careers over the course of last week.
Yeah, now we also learned this week that the iconic Little 500 race took place in Indiana. 25,000 people watched the racing on the 400-metre long cinder track. No carbon fibre, Dan, no clipless pedals, no gears, no brakes, and a heck of a lot of very strong collegiate races.
Well, no wonder. Such a strong spectator sport.
Yeah.
They even had their own IPA, believe it or not, for the event, from Heartwork Brewing as well.
And Dan's just booked his flights.
I'm on my way.
For next year.
Yep.
Congrats to Kappa Alpha Theta for winning the women's race and the Black Key Bulls team for the men.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
We also learned this week that the Trump administration are against rogue diets. So in spite of decades of evidence to say that reducing road capacity makes things safer, the Department of Transport have issued new guidelines to say that actually the update reflects the department's concerns about the safety hazards associated with congestion.
You know what I think about congestion, Dan?
No, well, we're about to hear again.
Well, no, apparently congestion, or road diets rather, leads to a false sense of security that puts everyone at risk. So I think the idea being that being safer makes people feel safer, which therefore makes things more dangerous. Got it?
I've got it.
Got
it. Let's move on, shall we? Finally this week, we learned that getting back on the bike after a few years off is, it's humbling. And it's also a learning experience.
Go on then. So what have you learned, mate, in these past 2 weeks that you've been riding?
Passive-aggressive side. I've learned quite a lot, actually.
Go on then, yeah.
Firstly, 50 kilometres per hour. It's really, really fast.
Yeah.
It's really fast.
I mean, I would say that 50k an hour has always been quite fast.
Yeah, it has. But it feels so much faster now than it used to. Like, 50 kilometres per hour, well, it's about the fastest I get on my rides at the moment.
On descents, presumably.
Obviously on descents.
Okay,
I'm not reaching that sort of speed on the flat. But it feels properly fast in a way that it didn't before. So I was going down at a descent at the weekend, and as I hit 46 kilometres per hour, I thought to myself, this is what Mathieu van der Poel averaged for 5.5 hours over the cobbles of Paris-Roubaix. It's just nuts.
It is nuts. Yeah, I would agree. Now, the speeds have gone up in general, haven't they, since you stopped racing?
They have. But there were times, believe it or not, where I would hit 50 kilometres per hour or more.
Even Dan.
Back in my day during races. And it just felt a bit more normal in some way. I'm not talking about the feeling in my legs, by the way. I'm just talking about the general sense of speed.
Does it feel more dangerous? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay,
it feels
yeah.
more dangerous. I wouldn't have thought twice about riding at 50 k's per hour on the flat or down descents before. But when I do at this point, all I'm thinking about are the dangers of going at that speed and what it would be like to crash if an animal ran out in front of me or I had a blowout in my tyres. I just think about all the risks at this point.
Yeah. Do you know what that is, mate?
What?
Old age.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it is an age thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you are less risk averse when younger and more risk aware as you age, essentially because you've more experience and actually know all the things that could possibly happen.
Well, exactly. And you know that recovery is going to be much longer in your 40s than it was in your teens or 20s.
True.
Number two, well, you know that old Greg LeMond motto from many years ago?
Yeah.
He said, doesn't get any easier, you just go faster.
Yes, yes.
On my ride on Saturday, I came up with my own new motto.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't get any easier, you just go slower. That's what I found.
Yeah, I mean, that has happened to me as well, unfortunately. I mean, unfortunately, that probably is an age-related one as well, Dan.
But yours has been more of a gradual decline, really, because you've continued riding for years. Mine feels like a chasm that my brain is yet to comprehend.
Yeah, to be fair, I've offset mine with technology. So actually, it hasn't really happened because my bikes have just got faster.
I probably have as well. The chasm would probably be even greater.
Oh, absolutely.
Not for my Canyon Aero that I'm currently riding. But I'm used to being able to hold a certain power in my head, do a certain speed on my local climbs, etc. But the power that I'd find easy before is now either extremely painful or just impossible to sustain.
And you've been surprised by this?
Well, I mean, I know I shouldn't be surprised because it's just obvious that I wouldn't be able to sustain that power.
I mean, it is, yeah.
But what I'm more surprised about is just how long it's taking me to recalibrate my expectations of myself. There seems to be a big gap between what my brain tells my legs they can do and then the reply that my legs are giving my brain.
Yeah. Have you just tried screaming, "Shut up, legs," at them?
Yeah, I've tried that, but I found that they scream louder back to my brain.
Yeah. Have you tried crying again? Because you did that when you were, 17?
I did work
17.
Before, yeah. I'll give that a go next time I'm out. I've also found that I'm finding it difficult to get aero on the bike.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that does sound like something that's come from a lack of riding. Yeah, I'm not doing perhaps the power that I used to be able to do, but I can definitely get aero when I need to, anyway.
Well, I mean, I can get my elbows to 90 degrees and I can get aero, but just briefly, because after about 5 minutes, I'm starting to feel discomfort, quite uncomfortable.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I mean, I can get my elbows to 90 degrees, but, you know.
Yeah, initially it feels fine, like it used to, and like I said, after a couple of minutes, something now I'm going to... I'm going to get back to straight around.
You might need to put some yoga on your to-do list, mate.
Add it to my list.
Yes.
Along similar lines to that, I am also finding it far harder to look round and see what's coming behind me.
My goodness me. I mean, you probably don't need to look behind you. You're not going to be dropping anyone, are you, really? No one's going to be behind you, so just look in front.
I mean to check traffic.
Oh,
in the UK, I'm turning right and checking that there needs to be nothing there, of course. But I can do that. I can look around. It just feels like it's not as easy as it once was.
Yeah. I mean, there is a good solution to that.
Is that
well.
Yoga?
No, it's a rearview mirror. When you
Oh, geez. I think I'm going to try the yoga first.
Dude, rearview mirrors overrated, as I found out.
On a more positive note, though, Si, wider tyres really are so much more comfortable, aren't they?
It does feel like you've been out of the game for a long time, Dan. Yes, they are. They're game changers.
Yeah, cattle grids. They're not like the jackhammers that they used to feel like when I ride over them. And on the rough country roads with the increasing number of potholes that we've got, they're just fantastic, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Wider tyres do make life a bit better. And also the fact that tyres have got faster as well. So actually...
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah, you'd be going about 2 kilometres slower, mate.
Also, it doesn't seem to rain as much as it used to when I was riding full time, which is nice.
You have, as we've already established, only been riding for 2 weeks, and it happens to have coincided with a very rare 2 weeks of nice weather here in the UK. Although I did notice that you have done at least one of your sessions on Zwift.
I did, yes, because it was raining.
Because it was raining, right.
Not raining as much on my rides, I've got to say, because I can choose to only ride outside in fair weather, which is nice.
Yeah, to be fair. And that is a big change since you stopped. I mean, genuinely, it sounds stupid, but indoor training is now a thing.
It's now interesting.
Yeah, and it wasn't when you stopped. It does sound like you're getting to the end of your list.
Not quite. I've still got another one. I've also noticed that there are more riders on the road.
Yeah.
But fewer that wave back at you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I've come to the conclusion it's a good thing, personally, because the increased number of riders is great in itself, obviously. And I think partly because there are so many cyclists, there's too many to keep just wave at everyone, isn't there?
Well, to be fair, that's what I find. So I do try and wave, but there are so many people. Then you're like, well... Are they expecting me to wave at them? Or are they going to think that I'm a real weirdo for waving at them? And she'll be like, why is that guy waving at me? So, I mean, it's a lottery out there, isn't it, really?
It's like when there's loads of car drivers. You don't wave at every other car driver, do you? Bus drivers do, though, I've noticed. They wave at each other.
That's true,
What I might do, Si, is start to wave at fellow pre-2015 Skoda Superb estate drivers.
Are any of them still on the road?
Quite a few have crashed, I'm sure, at this point. I've got one last thing as well.
Go on then, yeah.
My sweet tooth has finally returned.
So that is actually quite interesting. So for years, Dan would talk about having used to smash chocolate of an evening, and then you basically said that you weren't interested in anything sweet.
Just didn't crave it.
And then now you're back on Chocolate.
Back to raiding the chocolate stash, yeah.
Serious?
Yeah, the kids have had a really bad Easter this year. Things ran out quicker than they were expected.
What's that about?
Quite interesting, though. Like I said, for the longest time, when I have felt peckish...
You've drunk beer.
And I wanted a snack, I've done that, but I've also gone savoury.
Right, okay. Snacks.
But now... Well, firstly, I'm peckish more often. I'm hungrier, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
But I'm craving sugar. So, like, chocolate, cake, biscuits, that sort of thing.
No way. Yeah. There you go. I mean, it is amazing how much exercise affects our appetite, isn't it? Both in terms of how much we want and need, I suppose, but also the types of food our brain asks us to eat.
Yeah, feels it requires, I guess. Yeah. I've certainly experienced a shift just from, four more hours of cardio per week? I've done a couple of hours running, I'm now doing 6 hours per week on the bike, and it's quite a remarkable shift, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it is remarkable. Is that the end of your list now?
It is the end of my current list, Si, but as you were so keen to point out at the start of the show, I am only 2 weeks into my training plan, so I'm sure I'll have a few more light bulb moments on my rides in the coming weeks.
Yeah. Rear view helmet mirrors are the future.
Yeah, I'll be top of my list in another few weeks' time.
Do you know what? This reminds me, right? So I just started watching a drama, like non-cycling drama, actual TV, about this woman that gets out of prison. She'd gone in when she was 18, and she gets out like 20-something years later and, you know, finds the world has changed slightly. It feels a little bit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you obviously haven't come out of prison, but it's just like, it's so strange. There are lots of people about.
It does feel a bit like
they're wearing shorts that aren't black and, you know...
Bermuda shorts.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Right, time to get your thoughts there at home. So if you've spent some time away from cycling, you're just getting back into it or have got back into it at some point, let us know what your first thoughts were when you did that and your observations as well.
Yeah, or if, like me, you've ridden consistently for years and noticed some changes, what are they? Get involved in the comment section down below.
Just before we finish this part of the show, though, I wanted to tell you that if you would like to join me, and many others actually, in riding from Manchester to London on the 22nd of June, there are apparently still around 10 places left. So if you're interested, we'll leave a link in the description just down below.
Yes. You will never get a better opportunity to watch Dan suffer like he has never suffered before.
Oh, I think, well, I'll have you know, Si, these 1 minute hill repeats are going to pay off in June, I can tell.
Yeah. You know what, I think the issue might be that you've made it sound so hard that people are going to be like, well, crikey, it just sounds a bit unpleasant. I'm not sure I want to do that. No, Dan's just making a meal out of it.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we will start with the news that made the headlines here in the UK last week, which is that the government here are looking to update a 160-year-old law to allow cyclists to face tougher sentencing should they kill a pedestrian in a traffic incident.
So currently, there is no death by dangerous cycling law here in the UK, only wanton or furious cycling, of which the maximum penalty is 2 years in prison. Under the proposed new law, it would be up to a life sentence.
Yeah, now I've got to say, I feel quite conflicted about this, right? So on the one hand, it's absolutely right that someone who causes someone's death through carelessness or recklessness can be sentenced accordingly. But there's something about this kind of demand of parity with motorists, which seems a little bit weird, given that a car has got the potential to be so much more dangerous, like the size of it, the embodied energy, the speed it can travel at. And it almost feels like that needs to be recognised so that you're aware of the risk every time you get behind the wheel. But then maybe actually the vehicle is irrelevant because it's all about the outcome. And if someone is tragically killed, they're tragically killed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm conflicted.
And some e-bikes are getting bigger, more powerful, et cetera, aren't they?
Well, I mean, never to the point where it's like a motorbike, but like, I mean, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Actually, there's been a few stories based on dangerous cycling this last week. So again, here in the UK, cyclists in London flock in their thousands to two famous parks, which are Regent's Park and Richmond Park. To put in perspective just how many people ride around the latter in particular, it's the world's most popular Strava segment. 155,000 people are on that leaderboard.
Wow, that is a lot of people, isn't it? Now, the volume of cyclists that ride around these places is not without its issues. And in a randomised survey of 2,000 Londoners, okay, 86% of people felt that the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit that applies to vehicles should apply to cyclists too. And 72% felt that their biggest cause for concern as a pedestrian was people cycling without due care and attention.
As we said just a couple of weeks ago, only takes a couple of idiots, doesn't it, to ruin
it
things for pretty much everybody else. And the same is definitely true of this. So please, do not ride like a dick.
No.
If you want to do max efforts, do them on quiet roads or at home on Zwift, not in parks in the centre of cities.
Yeah. I mean, it's really not hard.
Not too hard.
Is it? It really isn't. So the Royal Parks, which is kind of like the authority who look after these two particular areas, are taking this information that they've gathered in this survey and are starting a campaign for considerate cycling, which seems perfectly reasonable. Rather predictably, perhaps, some cycling advocacy groups have responded with the "we're not the problem, cars are" line, which, while correct, does seem to be ignoring the problem, doesn't it? Which is that the vast majority of people don't think that cars are the problem, and that maybe all of us could do something to help.
Laws had changed, how would it be possible to enforce it? Police in my area, Si, this is something you spoke about in the intro, police in my area are using something called Smart Tag, which is basically like a traceable water that they spray on people to then be able to track them later.
In your area?
Yep.
You're going to watch out then?
I'm going to watch out. Well, to be fair, it's not cyclists. Not all cyclists that are getting sprayed, but motorbikes, quad bikes and high-powered e-bikes. But the BBC lumps them in with cyclists and bike riders, believe it or not, all of them.
Another good bit of PR for cycling. Yeah. Have you been squirted when you're out and about?
Not as far as I know.
No, okay.
No.
All right. Well, that's good. I get the feeling you would notice if you've been squirted some kind of smart...
At 46 Ks now, I feel like Mathieu van der Poel in Roubaix, the bottle that hit him.
Oh, right, OK. On a slightly more amusing end of the spectrum, this story also made the rounds last week, which was an Irish triathlete who was stopped by police for dangerous cycling.
Not really surprising that, is it? Really, Si? Most triathletes could be stopped for dangerous cycling.
They could indeed, yeah. But this guy...
Joke, by the way.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a joke, isn't it? This guy, though, would you believe it, as a triathlete, got stopped for speeding.
Ooh.
Yeah, so he was doing 62k an hour in a 50 zone. He copped a bit of a bollocking from the police, but then was allowed to get a photo of his Canyon Speedmax resting against the police car.
Really?
As a little memento.
Yeah, the only time you're going to get told off by the police and be proud of it,
yeah.
I guess, isn't it?
62k an hour, you'd have been absolutely crapping yourself.
I would have been thinking of all sorts of stuff that could take me off at that speed.
Especially on a TT bike.
Subsequent consequences. Anyway, from one canyon to another now, and you might have spotted this out there looking concept bike on their social media last week.
Yeah, we asked for some more info on this futuristic e-bike and are told that it is very much a concept that they are gauging public opinion on. The idea, though, is that the frame would be made from recycled aluminium in Europe to lower the CO2 embodied in it and improve sustainability, but that the bike would be all about fun and customization. It would act like a huge canvas for stickers and paint and art and whatever else. Plus, then there'd be like plug and play accessories like racks and whatever
else. Does look quite cool.
Yeah, doesn't it?
And Canyon have got a good history of interesting concept bikes, haven't they?
They do indeed, yeah.
Now, some more tech news for you now. Shimano posted their first quarter revenue, which is not perhaps particularly interesting if you don't work in the bike industry, I guess.
No. But it was up, though, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
But of interest was this graph from Shimano that was published on Bicycle Retailer, which is an industry news outlet. So it shows bike component sales by destination each year. And while the perception is that everything is doom and gloom worldwide, isn't it? Not just with people buying bikes, but almost by extension riding bikes too. When you look at this graph, it's still trending upwards from pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah, I really struck me that. Now, what would be super interesting is to know how much of that sales growth is related to inflation and what it would look like if instead of revenue, you could plot it for units sold. Regardless, though, there is no huge drop-off post-pandemic surge, is there? And it also is striking just how much stuff got sold in the pandemic. Oh, my goodness. And while prices have gone up, they haven't gone up by enough to compensate for any kind of, like, huge trough, haven't they? Also, another thing, look at the recent development of China.
Yeah.
The amount of sales to China has more than doubled since the pandemic.
Is that the rise of cycling in China or the rise of bikes being assembled in China and then shipped worldwide, I wonder? Possibly a combination of the two, I guess. Certainly the volume of products shipped to Taiwan suggests that assembly is a large chunk of it.
Yeah, there aren't that many cyclists in Taiwan, even though, as we saw at the weekend in our mega feature, I think I can call it that.
Oh, you can, yeah.
With Connor and Ollie riding the length of Taiwan, it is genuinely one of the most incredible cycling destinations on the planet. Mm. It is just fantastic,
beautiful,
isn't it? Now, we will finish Cycling Shorts with some news from our friends at Met, who launched a brand new helmet today.
Yeah, TimeJar helmet. It's called the Drone Wide Body 2, and it was developed in their brand new wind tunnel called the Tube. They claim that this new helmet is 13.5 seconds faster over a 40-kilometre time trial than the previous version.
Yeah, not good news for Pogacar's rivals this summer. It's also pretty light, actually, isn't it, by aero helmet standards, at 430 grams.
Yeah, it's quite light, actually, isn't it? One more thing, actually, beyond that, we've got that Redshift giveaway at the moment, which is your chance to win a cockpit bundle, which includes the bar of your choice, plus bar tape, handlebar bag, and ShockStop Pro stem.
Yeah, all details can be found if you click on the link that we will put in the description below. Entries close this Friday at 10 a.m. BST.
Good luck.
Yeah, you better not get one of those helmets, by the way. Well, because if you're...
If
you're going... Well, no, if you're going even faster, you will spend most of that ride, like, anxious, won't you, really, for the speed, just in case what might happen.
I'd find it really hard to look at what's coming in the time trial position, I think, as well. Yeah, I'll steer clear of that.
Yeah, you better.
Yeah. Hack. /bodge of the week. Now, don't forget, you can get involved in this part of the show. All you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader, and then you can upload your own hacks and bodges, videos or photos. We'll get onto that a bit later on. First up this week, Carl Martin wrote in, say, after being hit by a car while out for a bike ride some weeks ago, I broke my collarbone and had to have surgery. I jumped on my trainer after a couple of weeks, but I struggle with not being able to use my left hand much. I've got a couple of bar stools by my bike and suddenly got the idea to use the bar stool as a reliever against my chest and the bottom of the stool against the handlebars. My positioning gets a little upright, but it takes the strain off my arm and collarbone. I don't use it all the time, but I pull it up now and then. Brilliant.
I mean,
in his own words.
It's got to be said, it looks like the most uncomfortable thing on the planet. Whether or not it is less uncomfortable than cycling with a broken collarbone, I don't know. But fair play, Carl. If that works, I think we've got to give it a hack.
Could I suggest something?
Yeah, go on, mate.
Rest. I understand why a pro would want to be back on their bike, spinning their legs as soon as possible. Even then, I think they take it to the extreme when they don't need to. If you're not a pro athlete or pro cyclist, I think just rest until your collarbone.
No, mate. No. Mental health. It's like physical exercise. So good. If you're not doing anything,
I don't
do
think
nothing.
I'm not quite sure that going to the extremes of having to use a bar stool propped against your handlebars and propped against your good shoulder.
Anything it takes. Also, don't forget, Matt Heyman.
I would question mental health.
Pro cyclist Matt Heyman did something like this. Yeah, but with a step ladder, wasn't it? With a broken something or other. He ended up winning Paris-Roubaix just after it. Maybe Carl's got like a big objective.
Yeah, Tour de France, not far away, Carl.
I salute you and your determination.
I'm saying
to
bodge.
Keep riding. I know, but that's because you... That's because you're overtrained now. You've done 2 weeks.
I bet he was doing 50 k's an hour down a descent and there was an animal ran out in front of him. See, this is what can happen.
Well, no, he said he got hit by a car.
Oh, yeah, true.
Did he? Right, then. Martin sent this one in. I saw this cool lampshade made of chain rings that was in the Hard Rock Cafe via the GCN show. And I thought I would share it. Just to let you know, I was not at the Hard Rock Cafe and I hope I still get a hack, which is very funny and it made us all chuckle. Basically, Martin is referencing, I can't remember what
last
it was now.
Show.
Last week's show where someone sent in a picture that, oh, it was someone's Instagram, that was right. A screenshot of someone's Instagram, which was good, but anyway. Yeah, fair play, Martin.
We had to draw a line, sort of make some rules, didn't we?
We did indeed. Yeah. But someone actually put a very funny comment. Bimbling Along said that if Alex runs out of old frames to put his Dura-Ace cranksets on, he could always make a lampshade for the studio. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Would be pretty cool.
Alex Payton, who infamously has a drawer of brand new, unused Dura-Ace cranksets in his workshop.
We could make some out of our Camping Super Record 11-speed cassettes.
Well, we literally could actually make a pretty banging lampshade, but we probably don't possess the skills to do so.
Finishing Hack and Bodge this week with a couple of videos, actually. So first up, this one in from Daniel. This is a simple way I came up with to wax a chain. No need to remove the chain, requires just a candle and gas turbo lighter. takes about 10 minutes, and for me, it lasts for at least 200 kilometres. Love the show.
Now, I watched this video, Dan, and I think, well, that looks like a massive botch, putting effectively a small blowtorch to your chain, having, by the look of it, just rubbed a candle on it. But if it lasts 200 kilometres, I mean, we can't argue with that.
No.
And as we were reminded by Isaac, just off camera, the OG of chain waxes is just paraffin wax, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. So maybe, actually, it kind of works.
I'm going to say hack, but I've got no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I suppose it's just how hot you get your chains to whether or not that actually damages the metal.
Mm. I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe just leave it in a warm car.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you live in the UK, you wouldn't get much chain waxing done, would you? Just about this time of year.
No, that's true. All right.
One day.
Maybe we'll ask Alex Payton to give it a try.
Yeah, we will report back. Finally this week, this one from GI. My cousin spotted this guy showing off the latest in tubeless tech in Cairns in Australia. Expect to see it in the Pro Peloton in no time. Probably need a description for podcast listeners.
They can hear it.
So you can probably hear roughly what's happening. But a guy riding down the street on a mountain bike with a rear wheel that no longer has a tyre on it, so on the rim. That used to happen in mountain bike races quite a lot, didn't it, back in our day? Do you remember the cool shots you'd get in the mountain bike magazines of some cross-country rider who had given up trying to repair their puncture towards the end of a race, just ripped the tyre off, put the wheel back in and ridden to the finish on the rim?
Yeah. A bit like questioning someone's sanity when they jump on a turbo trainer 2 weeks after a broken collarbone. Yeah, but you do want... what's the point? what is actually the point? But anyway, yeah, riding a bike on a rim. Not for the faint of heart.
Not big and it's not clever.
No. Yeah. It does look cool, though, if you get some sparks coming out.
Oh, yeah, it's big and clever.
Yeah. Right. Some interesting ones this week. Thank you, as always, for submitting your hacks and bodges. We will catch up on the best of them this time next week. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you've got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second.
First up, this was the photo from last week, the podium of Amstel Gold. Looks a bit weird, doesn't it? Because Pogacar is not on the top step of the podium.
That's true, yeah.
Only got second, didn't he?
I've got to say, before you start, Dan, Just Luigi said, just give Dan the GCN water bottle because nobody can possibly top his caption.
Oh, thank
well
you.
Done, Dan. Best. I actually can't remember what you said. Can you remember what you said?
I said, are you happy with silver, Pogacar? He's like, no, I'm still gold. Amstel Gold. I did it better last week.
Amstel Gold. Yeah. Well, you can have this bottle, which has still got the champagne in that Hank put in there about 6 months ago.
Oh, very nice.
So that's yours, mate. Yeah.
Right. Who is our winner for this week then, Si?
Well, this one made me really chuckle. Paradoxical Undressing said Matthias Schelmoser, who was the winner, said Amstel Gold is better on draft. which is possibly a little slight to whether or not he benefited from some of the hard work put in by Remco Evenepoel.
Do you know what? Given the current situation in pro cycling, where Evenepoel, Pogacar and Van der Poel have won something like 17 of the last 21 major races, I really don't think anyone can care too much if somebody like Schelmoser just sits in saying, you're too good for me, and then wins.
Well, also,
it's not like the old days of the sit-on sprinter or something where you sort of thought, well, that's a bit unfair.
And to be
fair, they've had their fair share of wins.
It's Evenepoel being overconfident, right? And be like, well, I don't need to worry about him.
Mm.
I just need to catch up with Pogacar and then beat him in the sprint.
Yeah, so, job's a good one.
That's it, yeah. Tactics. Everyone loves a tactic. Cool bike race, don't they? Right, go on then, Dan. Here's the photo for this week, which is once again Tadej Pogacar on another podium.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, thankfully he's taking a bit of a break from racing, isn't he?
So he's not doing the Giro, so there'd be quite a good race there.
That's a race
for victory.
Well, and you might see someone other than Tadej Pogacar on the GCN show caption competition.
There is that
for
as well.
A little bit. Yeah. What are you going to do with this one?
Well, just a description for podcast listeners. This is a close-up of Pogacar on the podium of Liège-Bastogne-Liège with his trophy, which is a very small cassette. So I'll start you off. The UCI showcased their latest solution to safer racing.
I don't understand that.
You don't understand it? No, this goes back to Wout van Aert's solution
for racing.
Where
smaller gears.
Limits the gears so that people can't pedal past others down descents.
Right. I thought for 1 minute that was Kim LeCourt standing on the podium there.
Oh, goodness.
It's actually not quite the Mauritian national champ jersey, is it?
No. I mean, they do look very similar, don't they?
Ridiculously similar.
Did you watch Women's Liaison?
I did, yeah.
I took my eyes away from the screen briefly, and it went from a group of four with Cabal, Vollering, Puk Pedersen and Lotte Kopecky in the World Champions jersey. And then when I came back in to watch it, it looked like the same group of four. And it wasn't until the last kilometre I realised it was no longer Kopecky in the lead group, but Kim LeCourt in the Mauritius Champions jersey. I don't know how the UCI allow it, but anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Good job you weren't commentating on that, mate.
I know. Well, yeah, I wouldn't have gone away from the screen if I was commentating. I made a cup of tea or something. Right, get involved in the comments below with your best captions. We'll pick a winner this time next week. You know what's next? A few of our favourite comments from the last week's worth of videos before we let you know what's coming up on GCN this week. Starting, as ever, with a few from underneath last week's GCN show. Starting with Helena Fabregas Vasquez. I raced the Levi Gran Fondo last week and it was an incredible experience. I would do it again any day. Super well organised, beautiful course and amazing vibes.
Yeah, there we go. There was a lot of comments similar to that. People had turned up and loved it. We should clarify, by the way, because someone got a bit shirty in the comments. I said it was an unsupported race because you don't have team cars, but they stressed that actually there were aid stations. Mm. So riders get support like you would in a Gran Fondo, but not like you would in a pro race.
Okay.
So hopefully
that's clear.
Only one person was confused. But anyway, Tim Rickard said, I love what they're doing with Levi's Gran Fondo. Top level pro racing with an approachable community vibe, leveraging a beautiful location to create a bucket list event for the pros and us recreational riders. What should they be leveraging?
Alan Foster doesn't think that unsupported pro race is the answer because he said, nice idea about the unsupported racing, but Lachlan Morton would turn up and thrash everyone.
Nah. Well, who would have won, Lachlan Morton or eventual men's winner Keegan Svensson? Both hitters in their own right.
Yeah.
And then what happens if Tadej Pogacar turns up with a saddlebag and a mini pump in his back pocket? I think we know the answer.
He'd be a handlebar bag sort of person, I thought.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially with his power output, he wouldn't need to worry about the increased frontal area. I love this comment, Dan. So, Dooley RP, stuck in a snowy layover in Detroit. A guy clocks my GCN sweater. We start chatting. Turns out he's a fellow cyclist. Fast forward a week and he's given me a sunny two-wheel tour of Tampa in Florida. From frostbite to fast rides, all because two GCN fans crossed paths mid-flight. Proof that cycling connections really travel well. How good is that?
Really cool, isn't it?
Absolutely. If you want to get some GCN merch, a sweatshirt that might make you new friends and take you for amazing bike rides, of course you can head over to shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com.
Just before we move on, I've got a story about a GCN hoodie that I don't think I've told you.
Go on then.
So when I first joined my local gym, which is about a year ago now, the first day I went in, there was a gentleman in there and he had a GCN hoodie on. But we just sort of didn't lock eyes or anything. He didn't see me in there. But I thought, it's only a matter of time, surely, before he comes over and said, Dan, nice to meet you, and I like the GCN show and stuff. He's never said a single word for me.
Really?
I'm not sure where he got the GCN hoodie from. I'm wondering if it's like a gift from somebody else or something.
Yeah, right.
I don't think he's into cycling at all.
Maybe he's thinking, why on earth is Dan Lloyd so up himself? Yeah, he's never come to say hello, no matter how many times I wear my GCN hoodie.
He only wore it that once. I've not seen it again, but he's in there quite often. Anyway, Bike and Dog Trips Virtual Cycling put, the podcast listeners will be wondering if this channel's taken a new path if they join at this point of the show and suddenly hear Dan discussing getting it up. Yeah, this is what made Si snigger last week. Didn't even know I'd said it.
No.
And found out afterwards, obviously.
Yeah. And then Jane Kennett, thank you for this comment. She said, Si, I empathise and feel your pain. Not only do I share the celiac coffee shop cake heartache, i.e. having a gluten intolerance and not being able to have whatever cake you want, but I also have what we refer to in our family as nankles. That is legs that just turn into feet with no identifiable ankles. You are not alone. So thank you, Jane, yes, for that one. Did I say Janet or Jane? Jane Kennett. So, yes.
Thank you, Jane. Underneath How Low's Dan's FTP, William wrote in to say, this guy's been on a comeback for 10 years. And he's actually not far wrong.
No, you've been milking it. You really have.
I'm back on it for good this time, though. Like health-wise, like fitness, maybe not doing as much bike riding as this current 6 hours. I mean, that's quite extreme.
Well, to be fair, you joke, but actually, having been given a training plan, you are loving it, aren't you?
I like following a training plan, yeah. I'm not sure I want the training plan to go on indefinitely, but I'm quite happy doing gym, running, a bit of cycling. Yeah. I'll carry on doing all of that.
As long as someone's telling you what to do.
Yeah.
I love it.
I was about to say something that was going to be cut out anyway then. But anyway, Darren Matthews put, FTP finished. One little drop of sweat on the tip of his nose, but not a single hair out of place. I, on the other hand, look like a melting corner after just 1 minute ascending the grade. Like it or not, Dan, you're an inspiration.
Darren,
I'll continue my comeback.
Don't believe a word of it. The magic of TV is all trickery, wasn't it?
We have a couple of makeup artists as well that we have to edit out afterwards, don't we, to keep the hair in place.
Oh, yeah, and then... we picked out a lot of comments this week. I have really been enjoying reading them. Under Battle of the Superbikes, the Colnago Y1 RS versus the V5 RS, William Sylvia said that Tade was his friend as well. He says he knows this because when I log onto Strava, it tells me that my friend Tade has uploaded a new ride and I should give him kudos. He rode the V5 RS again at Liège-Bastogne-Liège, which was interesting, yeah. And then Dr. Jake Kay said, I can't afford either, so I would go for both.
Just finally, underneath Riding the Length of Taiwan blew our mind, which was the epic video that Si talked about earlier. Make sure you watch it if you haven't done so already. It came out on Sunday. Paul B8587, but that was epic, and gave us a £10 donation through the super thanks icon just below all of our
videos.
Thank
you, Paul.
Incidentally, oh yeah, thanks very much, Paul. I'll probably watch it several times again. You're making some amazing content these days. I feel guilty watching it for free, so please have a super thanks from me. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, that is super cool. Thank you very much, Paul. Lux Wattage said, I'm actually able to watch this without a GCN membership. Oh, wow, you are really treating us this weekend. Thanks, GCN. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Solex Su said, as someone from Taiwan, I'm truly happy you guys created such a beautiful and moving film. I can totally imagine how tough it must have been to capture everything. Trust me, riding up and down the Wulin Pass in heavy rain is no joke. I have great, great respect for both of you.
And finally, Tita Momper, Max, what a character. He should be on more of your epic rides.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And there were quite a few comments along those lines, weren't there, on Sunday's
video? He absolutely made that for me. He really did.
I'll let Connor and Ollie know that.
they know. I basically told them in the office. It's like, no, it was Max that I tuned in for, if I'm totally honest.
Yeah, so we won't tell them. Right, coming up this week then, on Thursday, well, actually tomorrow we're heading to the gym, so aren't we?
We
video
are,
video will
mate.
Be out on Thursday, how to do weight training for cyclists.
Yeah, so this is a follow-up to my 90 days of weight training. There was a lot of interest, people doing it too. Mm-hmm. So we thought we'd make a quick explainer about how to go to the gym and make the most of it. Because one of the things that I think puts a lot of people off, other than the fact that it's going to the gym and it's not as fun as cycling, is everyone tells you you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
It's a really weird thing. It's just no, you don't want to do it like that, mate. You want to do it like this. Oh, no, you want to lift heavy weights. Oh, no, you want to lift light weights and do jumping. And then...
Yeah, you want to work on your stability before you lift any weights. Yeah, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot to get your head around. I've been trying to for the last year. I think I've got my head around a lot of things, but there are still certain motions and movements where I'm unsure because I don't want to do myself harm, which is the last thing, obviously, you want to do. So
exactly. So anyway, we cut through the BS and do what the science tells you to do. I think that's quite an important point.
On Saturday, cycling versus running. Why isn't there more crossover?
Because running's rubbish and hard.
This is a video that I've been thinking about for quite some time, based on the fact that I whooped the asses of everyone, if you have a GCN presenter in a 5K running race last December. But they'd completely whoop me if we went out for a bike ride of any severity.
This is true. Dan is wondering why his FTP of 260 watts translates more to running than
cycling.
Well,
it is funny though, isn't it?
That, it is
that
weird.
Fitness doesn't seem to transfer, because you got your highest heart rate in a long time on that run, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I've never been the same since. but you've just interviewed a former world 1500 metre running champion, haven't you?
Yeah.
Which is pretty exciting.
And Mike Woods and a coach on the way.
That'll be
Saturday.
That'll be super interesting, that one. Yeah, thanks for doing that, Dan. And then on Sunday, Alex's Unbound quest continued last weekend at a UK gravel race. So he's asking the question, just how much harder is racing in the US compared to the toughest of what the UK has to offer?
Interesting.
So, very interesting. It was cooler, wasn't it, at least for Alex?
Which helps him.
I think it does help him, yes. I don't think his heat training has started just yet, but I think it is imminent.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Genuinely, that will be the one thing that will make or break his Unbound. Mm-hmm. Positive of that.
Yeah, well, let's hope that the opposite of a heat wave over there at that point. Keep your eye out on GCN Tech as well, because Alex has been busy whilst he's in the States visiting our friends at Park Tools. So there'll be a video coming out on GCN Tech with them as well.
That's true. Also, Ollie went to Vision. Some more of our chums from the industry. He went to check out their mega factory in Taiwan and see how their carbon wheels are made. And super interesting.
Yeah.
Went well into detail. Nice. Seriously, it was almost longer than a GCN show, which is saying something.
At this point, Si, I'm starting to wonder if it will be. We've rabbited on for quite a long time.
We have. If you are still here, give yourself a medal. Maybe go and have a cup of tea or a stiff drink, perhaps.
Let us know if you're still here by giving us a financial contribution via the super thanks.
That's ominously quiet.
We're waiting.